following. And again, you reminded me when you called me before Pesach, and you were telling me that you were going to be in a program that was going to be some Israelis and some Americans. It just made me think a lot about the scenarios that can come up in which we have to be aware of how Israelis and Americans can figure out some of the things that might be difficult when spending Yom Tov together. What I mean by that is the following. In Parashas Nitzavim, we have a very famous pasuk, Hanistoros LaHashem Elokeinu, V'Haniglos Lanu Ulvanenu Ad Olam. So the pasuk tells us that Hanistoros, all of that which goes on in our minds, is LaHashem Elokeinu, that's for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'Haniglos, but that which is Nigla, that's Lanu Ulvanenu Ad Olam. So the Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin Daf Mem Gimel has a Machlokes HaTanoim, how exactly to understand what this pasuk means. A Machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Nechemia. There were many, many machloks in between Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Nechemia, but the Gemara there presents the following machlok as an understanding this pasuk. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Lo nenshu al hanistaros at she'avur asayardin." Rabbi Yehuda takes the pasuk literally, and it says, "Hanistaros l'Hashem Elokeinu" means that which goes on in people's private life. That's l'Hashem Elokeinu. But once we cross over the Yarden, then we have a din of arvus. Then we have a halacha that we all have to be kol Yisrael arevim zeh bazeh. Once you have a din of arvus, so then we assume that I'm responsible for you even on the nistaros, says Rabbi Yehuda. If I'm responsible for you, it means not only for the things that I see you doing, but even for the things that I do not see you doing. Hanistaros l'Hashem Elokeinu, but that's going to change once we get to Eretz Yisrael. However, Rabbi Nechemia disagrees, and he says, no. How can I be responsible for somebody else's nistaros? What you do in your own private life, what's going on in your head, is not something that we can ever imagine a human being responsible for. It's impossible. Even after they come to Eretz Yisrael, Arvus never dictates that I can be responsible for somebody else's private activities that there's no way I could have known anything about. However, Reb Nechemia says, all we learn is that the niglos, that which we see people doing, those we're going to be held responsible for once we get to Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Gemara assumes. So that's the discussion there. And the Gemara there gets into a whole dialogue about what the parameters are of the Din of Arvus and Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh. Do you want us to close this one? Doesn't matter? Okay. Now, how can I be held accountable for the Nistaros? Rabbi Huda on the simple level seems to say, HaNistaros LaHashem Elokeinu means that once I come to Eretz Yisrael, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh sets in. And once that's the case, then we assume I'm going to be responsible even for that which is going on in your head. How is that possible? So the Meiri asks the Kasha on the Daf. And he explains as follows. He says, Dayani Yisrael v'chachameim u'manhigeihem. The leaders of the community, tzrichem lefashvesh tamid v'lachzor v'lachkar al maiseh b'nei iram. We have an obligation as leaders of the community to look into what's actually going on the ground with the people of this neighborhood. Ve'ein lahem isnatzlus k'sheyatzu haroi al hanigla habali yadam. Ela tzrichem lachkar u'leragel es hanistaros k'fi yachaltam. We have to look into everything that's going on. So we have to be aware of what people are doing in their public life, what people are doing in their private life, even if it's something that most people in the community don't know about. But as the leaders of the town, we have an obligation to know that. And because we're doing nothing to stop people from acting in the ways that they are, therefore we are held responsible for being a part of that avera. That's basically the way the Meiri explains it. But what you see from the discussion that the Meiri has is that everybody agrees. If it's something that there's no possible way that a human being could have known such a thing, somebody's doing an avera b'nistarim, and there's no way that anyone could have ever known such a thing, or there's no way any member of the rabbinate or the bezdin could have ever imagined such a thing, so then obviously arvus doesn't go that far, which I think answers up a very important question. You ever wondered, how can it be that I'm responsible for somebody else's activities when I know nothing about it? The answer is, kuli amalo pligi, that I'm not. Kuli amalo pligi, that if it's something I can never know about, I'm not responsible. If somebody's sitting in the room and texting on Shabbos, you can't say, I'm going to be held responsible. How was I supposed to know that they're doing that? I thought he was a God-fearing Jew. I thought he kept Shabbos. How should I know that he's going to be mechal Shabbos in his own bedroom? So that's the basic rule of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh, which is a very important rule, and it's something we're going to have to think about very carefully. Obviously, when we talk about the din of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh, there's a very important question, and that is, the Achronim discussed, should we assume that this is an Isser Klali or an Isser Prati? Should we assume that basically an extension to every mitzvah is, not only do you have an obligation to keep Shabbos, but part of your obligation is also to make sure that everybody else keeps Shabbos? Is it an extension of the laws of Shabbos? Or should you assume that this halacha of Arvus is something that's a separate mitzvah? Same way I have a mitzvah to keep Shabbos, and I have a mitzvah also to give tzedakah. I have another mitzvah. One of the 613 mitzvahs is I have a mitzvah to make sure that other people are doing what they're supposed to be doing as well. But it's not connected intrinsically to the mitzvah of tzedakah or to the mitzvah of Shabbos or to anything else. It's something that's totally independent. It has nothing at all to do with the particular mitzvah or aveira at hand. Same kind of discussion we have in many other places. Lifnei Iver is one of the famous places. When I have an obligation to make sure that I don't facilitate somebody violating an aveira, is that just an extension of the aveira? Let's say I'm not allowed to serve avodah zarah, so I'm also not allowed to help somebody else serve avodah zarah. Is that just an extension of the din lifnei iver, or do we say that lifnei iver is a lav bifnei atzma, that we assume this is a separate aveira that a person has to make sure? Not only that you're not allowed to serve avodah zarah, but you have to make sure you never facilitate somebody else violating any aveira in the Torah that would be counted separately. So that's the general background of arvus. We're not getting too much into the details, but that's with regard to a person violating an aveira. If somebody else violates an aveira, says the Gemara, if I had the opportunity to stop them from doing so and I didn't, so then we assume that I'm in violation of the mitzvah of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh, and I'm going to in some way be held accountable for that. Now, says the Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah Daf Chavtes, we take this one step further in the opposite direction. We take it one step further with regard to mitzvahs as well. Says the Gemara, we have a principle. Kol she'eino mechuyav bedavar, eino meitzei acher midei chavaso. If I'm not a mechuyav bedavar, I cannot help somebody else perform their obligation. For example, we all have an obligation to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Let's say the best Baal Tokei in the room is a child. He's not a bar mitzvah, he's not a bar chiyuva. So obviously he cannot be the one designated to perform the mitzvah on our behalf. Kol she'eino mechuyav bedavar. That's the regular rule. However, the Rishonim say, you see from here, if somebody is obligated to do the mitzvah, obviously you're able to do it for somebody else. That's clear. That's Shomei Ka'ona. So for example, we all have an obligation to blow the shofar, so you can have one person blow the shofar on behalf of everyone. We all have an obligation to lay in the Megillah, you can have one person lay in the Megillah, and all of us will be Yotzei via that person. As long as both of us are adults, both of us are obligated to do so, so I can fulfill the obligation on your behalf. Yes, question.
I'm not sure this question. Does a child have any sort of obligation? Is it good? Do we encourage a child to hear the show for all the sake? And could we say if he's got, it's like, he's got encouragement to hear the show, could we say, well, we want him to hear the show, but could he be ISIS blowing?
Certainly the child has...
It sounded better in my head, I'm sorry.
No, it's a good question. Certainly a child has the idea of chinuch, right? We want the child to become accustomed to doing the mitzvahs, but he's not on the same level of chiyuv as
so
an adult would be. Yes. That's why sometimes the Gemara and Maseches Brachos discusses what about a man and a woman, perhaps their obligation in Berachas HaMazon is not the same. The Gemara explains why it might not be the same. But because of that, the Gemara wants to know, what if you have a man who's illiterate and his wife went to Beis Yaakov and knows how to read and knows how to write and knows how to do all kinds of things? Is she able to say the benching on his behalf, or would you say, no, they're not on the same level of Chiv and therefore that wouldn't work? So that's a major discussion, but generally we assume that whenever you have two people and one wants to fulfill the mitzvah on behalf of the other, the only way that that can be done is if both of them are on the same level of obligation as each other. But if one of them is not, so then we would assume that you're not able to, which leads us to a major problem. The Gemara says there, Maseches Rosh Hashanah, thank you. Tani Ava Bereidur Rav Zera, I forgot to put it on here. Kala Brachas Kulam, says the Gemara. All the brachas that we recite throughout the year, so you have the bracha on tefillin, and you have the bracha on kiddush, and you have everything else that you're going to say, afal pi sheyatza motzi, says the Gemara, we have a principle that even though I already made the bracha for myself, I already put the tefillin on my own, I already lay in the Megillah for myself on Purim night, I'm allowed to go ahead and make the bracha for somebody else, even though I've already performed my mitzvah. Says the Gemara, why? Gemara doesn't really explain why. Rashi explains the reason why is because Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh, which means, as long as there's a Jew who hasn't yet fulfilled his obligation in the mitzvah, that means I too have not totally fulfilled my mitzvah either, and therefore I can still go and make the bracha for you. Which is very surprising, because generally we say you have to be on the same level of chiyuv in order to be able to fulfill the mitzvah on behalf of someone else. Here, I fulfilled my obligation. I did the mitzvah, I blew the shofar, I went and I heard the Megillah already. So now you're going to tell me that because of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh, that means that I have not really completely fulfilled my obligation, so much so that I'm still considered on the same level of chiyuv as somebody else, that I can go and be motzi him? That's a tremendous chiddush. And that's what the Gemara means with this idea of yatza motzi, yeah?
Can we say by Havdalah that if you said it already, and let's say your wife didn't hear it, or one didn't hear it, you're not allowed to say it?
So that's a very good question. Why by Havdalah would we assume that if somebody said Havdalah ready, then they come home and their wife needs to hear Havdalah, why do we assume that it's a major question whether or not the husband can do so? The reason why Havdalah is in some way the anomaly, Havdalah is very unusual, is because by Havdalah, we're not really sure whether or not women have an obligation to say Havdalah on Motzei Shabbos at all. Major machlokes are shown in whether Havdalah is a separate mitzvah or Havdalah is part of the mitzvah of Kiddush. If Havdalah, the Rambam writes that we have a mitzvah on Shabbos to be Mekadosh as HaShabbos, which means you have to say Kiddush in the beginning, Havdalah in the end. It's all one mitzvah. So the same way women have an obligation in Kiddush, because Zachav Hashemah Dibarecha Nemru, so that means they have an obligation equally in Havdalah. If you assume that way, then it means a man can say Havdalah for his wife because he has an obligation, she has an obligation. As long as she hasn't done it, he has to say Havdalah for her. But if you assume like the other Rishonim, that Havdalah is a mitzvah b'fnei atzma, it's not connected at all to Kiddush, then you assume that it's probably a mitzvah to say Shazman Grama. Women don't have a real obligation to say Havdalah, the same way they don't have an obligation to do anything else that's a Zman Grama. So once the husband already fulfilled his obligation, for him to go back again and recite the Havdalah only for his wife, that's where the question rises, and that's why in Shulchan Aruch there's a major discussion about what to do under such circumstances. I do know that there were some members of our community who were elderly almanos. They were elderly women. They didn't want to go somewhere for Shabbos, so they stayed home. And they also wanted to make sure to say Havdalah, but they didn't want to say Havdalah on their own. There's this famous folklore that you're going to grow a mustache if a woman drinks the wine from Havdalah. The whole thing, I don't think, has any source at all. I don't think so. I don't think there's any makara at all for it. Where it came from, I once saw an article in the Chakira. Anyone gets the Chakira? So Ari Zivitovsky, who writes all kinds of strange topics about all kinds of weird things, in a good way. So he wrote a whole expose on this about how really there's no source at all and really there's nothing to it. Anyway,
so what's the outcome?
But then one second, but this woman didn't want to make Havdalah on her own because she was afraid of the mustache, but she also didn't want to go away for Shabbos, so she on Matzah Shabbos goes and calls someone on the phone to hear Havdalah. My father was very opposed to that, and he said if a woman has a choice either to make Havdalah on her own or to listen on the phone, he says that listening on the phone is really not a good option at all. I saw later that I think Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has that as well in the Halicha Shlomo, that he thinks it's not acceptable to hear Havdalah over the telephone, and he thinks it's better if a woman's by herself, even though the Chatchila a woman shouldn't make Havdalah on her own because we're not sure whether or not she's Mechuyiv, but still we would assume that if the choice is whether the woman should make on her own or she should listen on the phone, obviously making on her own is something that would be the preferred option, yeah?
So just to answer up on what he was saying, so according to the people that say that Havdalah is part of Kiddush, then if he's already been yotze with whatever, he already heard Havdalah, then he could say it again because of Arivus?
Yeah, it's like any other mitzvah. The same way, if I blew shofar and I made the bracha, I can go and do it again.
So it would be problematic according to those who say that it's a mitzvah of Kneat, like you're saying.
Yes, correct.
But even if, I guess it's the bracha of Hamav deal, but even just saying, or even the son and MacGuffin, first paragraph,
whatever, you know, these are it's a big discussion by Havdalah. How do we deal with Havdalah? But well, Havdalah is the unusual case. Havdalah is not the norm.
Breakfast Torah, Shabbos morning.
Yeah.
There's that one guy who slept. So
yeah.
But, you know, he can only say Breakfast Torah once, right? He can't go to different people and continuously say it. You know,
well, that's part of the same question. Are we really obligated to say Breakfast Torah or not? That's why we don't say it on our own, because it's a big machlokas whether or not we're mechuyev. If we are mechuyev, then yes, he'd be able to go around and make the bracha for all of us. But that's part of the suffix.
Well, what about, so I understand birchas mitzvah, atkiya shofar. But what about mitzvahs that sort of have birchas anen attached to it also?
That's the Gemara discusses that. The Gemara says when it comes to birchas anen, you cannot have somebody else make it if they're not really in need of that bracha. So you'll ask, how do we make
Kiddush.
So the answer is Kiddush is both. Kiddush is Birchas Hanen and a Birchas HaMitzvah. That's why you're able to do it. But Kiddush, again, is unusual because there's no other Birchas Hanen where you have such a thing.
Al-Khias Maror? Al-Khias Matzah?
Maybe. The truth is, they say in Europe, they used to have the Rav of the town. People didn't really have their own Haggadahs and they didn't know it by heart. So they say the Rav of the town used to go from house to house saying the entire Magid in every home, including all the Brachos with the Asher Galanu and the Baruch Atah Hashem and everything else. Until he would get to his own home at the end of the night, you know, he had already said the brachas 10 times, but he did that because that's the regular rule of Yatzamotzi, they have a right to do that. So here, that's the regular case that we're all familiar with. We have the opportunity to make a bracha not only for ourselves, but even to extend it and make a bracha for somebody else. So here, let's try and change the scenario very slightly, and this is relevant to your story. In the Tshuvas Shama Shlomo, which is a beautiful set of tshuvas, that's Rav Shlomo Amar's Tshuvas Svarim, it's really a beautiful, beautiful set. So he writes in Chelek Aleph, Shaila, Ha'im Yachol Ben Eretz Yisrael L'Kaddish B'Yam Tevsheni Kidei Lahotzi Es Ben Chutz La'Eretz Yidei Chovaso. Let's change the case slightly. I'm in Eretz Yisrael. I'm keeping one day of Yom Tov because I'm an Israeli. I have a friend who's an American who's giving me 2 days of Yom Tov, but he doesn't know how to say Kiddush. So am I mechuyev bedavar? Am I allowed to say Kiddush for him? Or do you say, what do you mean? For me, it's Chol HaMoed. Or for me, it's already Matzah Yom Tov. So am I allowed to make Kiddush for that person or not? Am I called a mechuyev bedavar? So he discusses it and he says, let's say somebody's out of Sphira because they forgot one night. Am I allowed to make the bracha on behalf of somebody who's still in? And that's a good Eitzah. That's a good Eitzah. Maybe if a person gets out, he should be the chazan, and he should make the bracha on behalf of somebody who needs to say the bracha, but will listen to him. And that's a good way to take care of your problem. Kvar amad al zeh hagon bala pri chadosh, al dayin echad shahor la misha shachach laila echas, she sofer beli bracha, she yavr lefnei ateva v'yotzer achem edei chavasa. The famous case that Reb Chaim had, but it's something that predated Reb Chaim. Yes, there was a Torah before Reb Chaim, and the pri chadosh has the case. I know many people don't believe it, but there was a Torah before him. And the pri chadosh has the same story that Reb Chaim discusses, that he said there was a rav of a town that forgot to count sphira one night, whatever happened, he was involved with some family, he was doing something, he forgot all about it. And he came to shul the next day, and he was so ashamed. He was humiliated because every night the rav of the town is the one who usually counts sphira. Tomorrow night he has to make an announcement. By the way, I want everyone to know I forgot to count last night. So the answer that the pri chadosh said to him was, go over to one of the people in the shul privately and say to him, you're going to make the bracha, and you want to have in mind to be motzi him. And by doing so, yatsa motzi is going to allow you to make the bracha anyway. Then, so he gets into this discussion, and he says, should we assume that a person like that is still called a mechuyev bedavar or not? B'shuv kasav, the shagag hadayin ha'uba razu. He says that's not true. How can I go ahead and make a bracha for somebody else when I'm no longer in the count for sphira? Now I'm called an ena mechuyev bedavar. Now why am I any less than a kadin who's not mechuyev bedavar? I'm out. Once I'm out, I'm no longer able to make the bracha for somebody else. So this was the discussion. But how can you call me an ena mechuyev? Oh, I am a mechuyev
bedavar.
Technically, there's a problem. There's something in the way that I missed tonight. I am really a mechuyev bedavar. You can't say I'm like an akum. You can't say I'm like a nachri. I'm not. The Ribbono Shel Olam didn't tell me to count sphira this year. Of course he did.
Especially
something went wrong.
The machlok here of 49 days. It's
yeah.
Each one is better.
That's the machlok of Rishonim. So this is what he's trying to figure out. How would you look at that circumstance? Would you say I'm really not called a mechuyev bedavar? Or would you say, no, it's just the technicality that has taken me out of the count. But really, I'm still in the same place that I am.
We're approaching this whole discussion with there's no difference in status between someone who's already fulfilled their obligation versus someone who's mitzvah. Meaning you're mitzvah, whether you've already done it in that circumstance or not.
Correct. That's the din of Yatzamotzi. Right. That's the halacha. Right. That's correct. Ve'ein lomar, then he says, and don't say, everyone with me? Ve'ein lomar, third paragraph, fourth paragraph. Ve'ein lomar, did we call Malkum Mikim Mechuyev Bedavar? He says, don't say that you're called a Mechuyev Bedavar, because he brings a proof from the Gemara by the Yerushalmi by Megillah. What's the story by Megillah? Ben Ir, listen carefully to the case, Ben Ir, Eino Motzi Ben Krach, Lefisha Eino Mechuyev. You have different cities by Purim. Some cities lay on this day, some cities lay on that day. The problem is, in our city, we don't have anybody who knows how to lay in the Megillah. So can I invite somebody from the big city next door that's going to lay in tomorrow to do the mitzvah on our behalf? Or do you say, I'm not a Mechuyev Bedavar? I'm only going to become obligated tomorrow because I live in the city that's going to lane on Tesvav. How can I now lane for the city that's going to lane on Yudalev? Says the Yerushalmi, Afogav di boi lemekar di rasa leil Tesvav. Even though I would be able to move there, I can theoretically make myself mechuyev. V'hamik mischayev kan v'kan. So still, it says that you're not able to have that person do the laning on your behalf. V'kol shekein lanita dindan delav bar chiyuva hu klal. If the Yerushalmi says that even the person switching from this city to that city on Purim is not able to be called a mechuyev bedavar and he cannot perform the mitzvah on my behalf, then certainly in our case, what's the story in our case where we have a ben chutz la'aretz who wants that a ben Eretz Yisrael should make kiddush for them, how can you call me a mechuyev bedavar? That's not just a technicality in the way. That means the Ribbono Shel Olam gave one mitzvah to you, and he gave a different mitzvah to me. And it happens to be that this year they're not going to coincide with each other, and I cannot be able to do the mitzvah on your behalf. Maskana de Milsa, you look at the bottom line, he says, in his opinion, Ein Ben Eretz Yisrael Yachal Kadesh B'Yam Tov Sheni, a Ben Eretz Yisrael would not be able to do that on Yam Tov Sheni in order to fulfill the obligation for the Ben Chutzlars. That's what he writes. He has a whole bunch of other tshuvas where he discusses this as well. I once heard him give a shiur about the following case. He said that there was a city that built a very beautiful community, and as part of building the community, obviously they had to build an Eruv for Shabbos. So they built this beautiful Eruv all over the place, and they had a big celebration when the Eruv was finished and the shul was being finished built. So they invited the Rav HaRashi of Eretz Yisrael to come and preside over the Chanukah Sabayis, whatever they were doing. On that occasion, they wanted to be mechabed him more than just having him speak. So they decided, I don't remember if he said the story was with him or the story was somebody asked him. I don't know. So he said that they wanted to be mechabed the Rav HaRashi, not just to come and speak and participate, but they wanted him to do something more than that. What more can he do? Chanukah Sabayis, what's he going to do? Oh, so they decided every community needs an Erev Chatzeres. And you have to make a bracha. So we're going to be mechabed the Rav HaRashi, since he's here anyway, to be the one designated as the person who's going to make the bracha on the Erev Chatzeres. And he's the one who's going to have that great honor to do it on behalf of the entire community. So he said, he was wondering to himself, I'm not a member of this community. I would be able theoretically to live here if I chose to, but I don't. I live in Yerushalayim. I traveled out here in order to show my support for the community and how proud I am, how happy I am that they built a shul. But how can I be the one designated? I understand they want to be mechabed to me, but how could I be the one designated to do the mitzvah on behalf of the entire community if I'm an Eino Mechuyu B'Dover? On the other hand, he says, it's a technicality that I'm not a Mechuyu B'Dover. I am Mechuyu in the mitzvah of Erev Chatzeros. I have to do the mitzvah. Happens to be I don't live here. So how do we view that? And that's what he discussed in the shiur that I heard from him. He discussed whether or not you could bring a proof from this Yerushalmi to our case. When the Yerushalmi talks about the story by Mikra Megillah, Ben Tezvav and Ben Yudalit, are they able to read the Megillah for each other? Should we assume that that's a good proof text for the story that we have here? Let's try, what?
It's two different view. Meaning,
which, between what and what?
The meaning of Chatzeres are the same, depending on where it's the same view. I have it in my home now. At the
in my
time.
Own community.
Here it's on, I don't have it right now at all.
Where are you talking about?
For
you're saying the Kiddush on second day Yom Tov.
Kiddush on the Yom Tov, Megillah.
Yeah.
Right now, as a Ben.
You're saying there's no way I can be Mechayev.
If I go back home, I have my Chiyuv at home, right?
Yeah.
Today, on this day, to have Erev Chatzeres in my own community.
Okay.
It's just I don't technically live here now.
Mm-hmm.
Megillah, he doesn't have any Chiyuv whatsoever on that day.
Right.
No matter what.
So that's,
he decides to sleep there.
So that's what one has to think about. Could we put all these cases together, or is there Makom L'Chalik between each one and to say, hey, an Erev Chatzeres is like you're arguing, in my own community, I am a Mechuyu B'Dover.
Right, yeah. Right now you're a Mechuyu, just not in this community.
Right.
If you go home now before Shabbos, you have
so
it.
Let's say I decided here on Yom Tov Sheni, I decided I'm being a Yoreid. I'm leaving Eretz Yisrael,
yeah,
I'm moving
right
back.
Right now, even before I decide that I have a Mechuyu.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
You do have a Mechuyu, it's just not exactly in this location.
How far do you extend it?
That's the question. How far should we take it? So you'll say, these cases never happen. Come on, you're going to have a Jew who's in Eretz Yisrael for Yom Tov Sheni, who doesn't know how to say his own Kiddush. He needs to ask the Ben Eretz Yisrael to make Kiddush for him, so you say it's not Nogea. I'll tell you where it is Nogea.
Megillah,
and this is a Shaila.
That's where you sleep.
Megillah is Nogea, but also you'll say there's always a Baal Kori who knows how to read. Here's a Shaila that's really Nogea, and it came up by us many, many times. And you'll think about it, you'll realize, as you think a little bit more, how common the question actually could be, and I just think people probably are not thinking about it too much.
Kira?
What?
Kira?
With regard to what? Yeah, it could be. But let's change the case a little bit. And this is the case that I was getting. So I sent the question to Rabbi Asher Weiss a couple of years ago. He responded. It wasn't printed, but here's what he responded. We had somebody who unfortunately had an elderly mother who had dementia. Now she was in the early stages of dementia. And because of that, she still knew a little bit, but she wasn't completely able to do things on her own. So she was in a facility, she was in a nursing home, I think, and he felt terrible that he put her in a nursing home, but he said he couldn't take responsibility to be home with her all day long, and he was afraid she was going to run away. He couldn't have her in the house. So he went every day after work, he went to visit his mother on his way home, and he also went Erev Shabbos. Before he went home for Shabbos, he used to go to his mother and visit her in the hospital, in the nursing home, before he went to his own home. However, what he used to do is, he said, once I'm here on Erev Shabbos, a half hour before Shabbos, he made sure to go and make Kiddush for her, and he would make the Hamotzi Lechem and Haaretz for her. He would set up a whole Shabbos table there. It was very beautiful. He wanted her to have the feeling of Shabbos. Then he realized, after he's going to make Kiddush for her, he's going to drive home. Right?
And he took upon himself
Kabbalah. So, he obviously can't be Mekabel Shabbos because he's planning on driving home. He's only going to be Mekabel Shabbos once he gets home. He still wants a shower before Shabbos. He's coming straight from the office. So, what's he supposed to do?
Tonight.
What?
Can't be married.
So, I did.
So, what do you want him to do? Meaning, his mother's going to light the candles, so that's not a problem.
I'm saying, like, we do, like, sometimes when women drive, we do it tonight.
It's true. So, what are you going to say? I should make Kiddush Allah tonight? How can I make Kiddush Allah tonight? Either it's Shabbos or it's not. The bigger question is, that was the problem. How can I be Motzi, my mother, in the Chiyuv, if right now it's not Shabbos for me? I can't make Kiddush Allah tonight. There's no such thing. It doesn't make sense.
It has to be Shabbos for me to be Chayiv in the Mitzvah.
In order for me to be Chayiv in Kiddush, I have to be in Kabbalah Shabbos. If I'm not in Kabbalah Shabbos, Kiddush is not a Chiyuv on me. If Kiddush is not a Chiyuv on me, I can't be Motzi my mother. So that was his problem. And I think this is a very common question. We don't realize it, but it's a very common question. People who unfortunately have these kind of situations don't really think about it. They go and they say, oh, it's so nice, let's give an ambiance of Shabbos, let's make Kiddush. It's all very nice, but the question is, do you have a right to do that? Because after all, you might be violating the Yisur Baruch
Levatela. If she, does she know? Well, like, she just sees like her son holding a cup of wine. Oh,
so that's
you can just sit by a hulu and then just like.
And that's enough.
Yeah.
So the problem is that she was like, the problem is that she was in the beginning of the stages of dementia, so she knew and she didn't know. It's like the Gemara says, "Itim chalim, itim shotis." Sometimes you have a person who's at the very early stages of an illness. Sometimes they're in, sometimes they're out. You don't know exactly what's going to happen. So he wrote the following. Kranistapig, look at the next paragraph, the bottom. Kranistapig, you can read the whole thing on your own. Does everyone here have to make it to Marav at a certain time? What? Okay, so we'll end in 5 minutes. Kranistapig, agon Rabbi Kiva Eger, b'sheila zuba agos of the Shulchan Aruch. Rabbi Kiva Eger has this exact shaila. Misukani. Im achar shelo kibel Shabbos yachalo hotzi lekadesh lemisha kibel alav Shabbos. Let's say I'm mekabel Shabbos early, and now I have a bunch of neighbors that were not yet mekabel Shabbos, but I don't know how to make Kiddush. Can I call one of my neighbors in and ask them to be motzi me in the Kiddush because it's Shabbos for me? Or do you say no, since it's not Shabbos for them, they are not yet mechuyev bedavar? Kol sheinu mechuyev bedavar, einu motzi achem midei chavasa. But technically, they would be able to be mekabel Shabbos if they would choose to. So, do you call them an Eina Mechuyi B'Davar? Says Rabbi Kiva Eger. How can you say you're Eina Mechuyi B'Davar? I am Mechuyi B'Davar. It's just, I got home late from work. I decided I'm going to make late Shabbos. You can't say I'm not a Mechuyi in Shabbos. It's not really true. But on the other hand, right now, as things stand, I'm not a Mechuyi. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, this is a direct quotation from him. Yesh lomar de lezeh shalo kibol dehu chol etzlo havi ke Eina Mechuyi B'Davar kahid Yerushalmi huva betosi yivamas yudalit. He quotes our Yerushalmi by the Mikra Megillah, where he says, that's called an Einam Mechuyev Bedavar. Or he says, the Hacha Adif. Here it's better, which is like what you said. To be Yadol Lahavi Atzma Lidei Chiyuv LeKabal Alav Shabbos. By the case of Mikra Megillah, I'm not a Mechuyev Bedavar. Once I had my permanent residence in the other town when the onset of Purim came in, that means I'm an Einam Mechuyev Bedavar today. I'm out. But here he says, it's not too late. Right now, I can very easily become Mechuyev B'Davar. If I change my mind right now and I say I want to take on Shabbos upon myself now, I would be called a Mechuyev B'Davar. And therefore, Rabbi Kiva Eger has the suffix, how do we figure out how to define with clarity who is called a Mechuyev B'Davar when it comes to mitzvahs and who perhaps is not? Obviously, we assume a Nachri is called an Eina Mechuyev B'Davar. Everyone agrees to that.
But it could be a Ger.
Yeah. Oh, so that I think one of the Achronim actually asked that. He could be Megayer. Okay, but that's, you know, I'm trying to remember. The Gemara says, where is that? A Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara has a case. People make all kinds of tznayim in giving the get. Right? What?
Kiddushin.
So the Gemara in Kiddushin. So does the Gemara in Kiddushin have this case? Right, true, but does the Gemara have this case? The Gemara in Gittin has the case. I don't remember it in Kiddushin. Could be it is. But the Gemara in Gittin has a case. A guy says the get is only going to be chal if I jump up to the moon, if I do all kinds of crazy things, if it rains outside, if it snows outside, if the sun comes out. But then the Gemara says a guy makes it al nas that someone's going to be megayer. So the Gemara says, should we be choshish for that or not? And that's a discussion. How realistic is it to assume that a person's actually going to be megayer? It's ridiculous. Did he really mean it? Or was it just a joke when he said such a thing? Like, everybody knew that was an impossibility. So what you're saying about a person being megayer, whether that's a realistic possibility, it might be more realistic that someone is going to switch residence from Anpurim to be a Ben Tezvav or a Ben Yedalid. That's a little bit more realistic than a possibility of assuming someone's actually going to be megayer. So anyway...
Don't we say that megayer get, that has, yeah, to, it has to be termination date? You can't say, like, oh, it's like forever, because then the get can be...
Correct. So that's exactly what the Gemara raises, like, here. Is this called forever
or not? So the case should be that, oh, is this guy going to be megayer within 30 days or within 2 years? Because then you have a way that it's over. Mm-hmm. You can't say, like... Can't say, oh, is this guy going to convert in his lifetime?
That's exactly what the Gemara is discussing. Anyway, so this is a very interesting tshuva for anyone who wants to read it. But you look at the end of the second side, where he writes the following. Mikal Makum. Where is that? Last word on the line. 6 lines from the end. Mikal Makum Nira. Diyesh lahachmer bazeh. Ulhi malet mechashash bracha levatela. Shahar b'chmiru bazeh aposkin. When you're dealing with a chashash bracha levatela, you're touching on perhaps an aver of losisa shema shema kechal hashav, which is not clear in and of itself. It's machlokes between Tosa and the Rambam. Should we assume that when someone makes a bracha that was not necessary, whether you're in violation of a nisud derais or not? But either way, he says b'frat penidin didan sheish l'stapigod. He says on top of that, I have the question that was raised at the beginning: im imo b'chlal chiyuv kiddush hayom. Even if you say you are a mechuyev bedavar, because technically you would be able to be mekabel Shabbos, what about the fact that this woman has dementia? And we don't even know if she's obligated herself. That's not so clear in and of itself. Does she even have the ability to have in mind to be yotzi with you? When you have a person who wants to say Kiddush before it's dark outside, the only way that can happen is if you actually had das, when you had in mind that you want to be Mekabel Shabbos. When you have a person who has dementia, itim chalim, itim shota, sometimes they know, sometimes they don't know, can you really say that there's any significance to the Kabbalah Shabbos that they did? Were they really Mekabel on themselves Tosefes Shabbos? You don't even understand what Shabbos is at this point. So you know, you hold a cup of wine, you say Kiddush, Baruch Pi Agafen, but you don't really understand the concept of what Shabbos is, when it starts, when it ends. Umishum calls the nira la'alacha sheyimna l'kaddish b'shvila b'bracha eli yichabden avi yisamchen avachol derech acher. You should try as much as you can to be mechabed her, to be mesameach her. B'shuvar isi b'mincha shlom arichas gedol b'sheila zu. He says, I didn't have a chance to go into it, but maskanoso sheyesh lahachmer. He comes to the same conclusion. The bottom line is, yes, it's true. Yatza motzi is a halacha that because of the din of arvus that we all have for each other, call Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh, I'm able to not only make a bracha for myself, but I'm also able to make the bracha for somebody else who has not yet made the bracha for himself. However, that is all provided that I am on the same level of chiyuv as that person. However, if you have these kinds of circumstances, that's where it gets a little tricky. You have a ben Eretz Yisrael and a ben Chutz La'aretz. Do you say that I'm considered an einam chiyuv bedavar? I'm the same as a nachri, I'm the same as a katan. You say I'm totally out? Or do you say, no, this is just a technicality, and that's the only reason why I can't do the mitzvah at this point. But, barring that technicality, one would still be able to be considered a mechuyev bedavar in principle. And therefore, perhaps, one would be able to recite Kiddush for the other one, one would be able to lay in the Megillah for the other person, even though there might be a technicality in the way. This is a basic general question that I think is a very relevant one when you think about the ramifications for these questions. I think it's a very lumpish question to think about. Rabbi Kiva Eger raises the issue, he doesn't really come to a conclusion. He writes Tzarchi and the Dina, but I think there's a lot of ways to go. Like you were saying, you can be mechalik between the different cases and try to figure out how it all fits in together. Does it all fit in together? And perhaps is there a pattern here that we can say fits for all them? Or perhaps should we assume that each case needs to be judged in and of itself and we cannot draw a conclusion from one case to the other?